Hey, new patient group and Right Chat Nation, welcome inside the broadcast booth. Brian right here, and welcome to Season 5, Episode number 6. Year continues to roll on, just getting back from the AAO. Next month's podcast, I'm going to have one that really dives more into my experience at the AAO and really dives back into a topic about the real reason that price shoppers exist. I'm looking forward to that one, and that will be in July. That will be the podcast, just wrapping around some things that I really want all of you to get your heads around and really what we teach. But it really became full circle when I was at the AAO seeing the thousands of booths trying to sell things, the inside the industry consultants teaching things. And I look forward to that podcast, so make sure in July to check that one out. Like I said, just getting back from the AAO, and it was a fantastic experience. Great seeing. We did an all-day workshop. Shout out to OrthoFi. Really appreciate you organizing that. Did an all-day workshop for them on Friday before the AAO started. That was a long day, 8 in the morning to 5, and I absolutely love those. they give you all day to get great content in, really change lives. Shout out Bob Skopak, spoke with me at that. And it looks like we knocked it out of the park, man, because OrthoFi is now going to be committing to doing more workshops around the country like that, and looking forward to being able to get to see my good friend and longtime client, Bob Skopak, and doing those together. Again, shout out OrthoFi. I appreciate it. I'm a big believer in you, and I appreciate you guys doing that. Means a lot. It was a great day. Shout out to the podcast listeners that I met. You know, it's always great to see faces to the statistic. You know, you can see if your podcast listens are growing or dying. You can see the admin section, but you can't see the faces behind those numbers, and I really love getting to meet everybody like that. A couple of you sat front row at the workshop, so you were put on the spot a lot, and I just enjoyed getting to see you, and I know that that workshop will change a lot of lives out there, and looking forward to doing many more of them. It was great seeing so many of the dental monitoring people. David Fitterling, I know you're a big fan. I really, really appreciate all that you do for us. It means a lot. Saw a lot of other people as well. A lot of the new patient group clients, Mark Olson, enjoyed eating dinner with you. Bryn Cooper enjoyed eating dinner with you. We saw a lot more. Alyssa Carter, Meredith Long, you know, Regina Blevins. Got to see my buddy David Boshkin, who I haven't seen in a while. He and I spoke for the Invisalign practice development workshops that were all over the country. Well, during COVID, they had to wax them, and he and I became very close. It was great seeing you. Donna Galante, new patient group client out there. Just so many of the great new patient group clients were there. It was wonderful seeing you. Invisalign people, you know, it's been a long journey. We've had an unofficial partnership with Invisalign for about 10 years now, but an actual partnership. I've been a speaker for Invisalign now for, gosh, I guess 6 years. And, you know, we've done a lot of good inside the Invisalign practices, and it's been a good, strong relationship for many years. And while we're talking about Invisalign and our partnership and being a speaker to for them, I want to give a shout out to them. They are sponsoring me. I am the keynote at the Ontario Association of Orthodontics. Really excited for that because I've not been there before. I've been told it's a fantastic event, and this is really one of the few in-person events to just start getting things going again in the post-COVID, hopefully we can say that now, you know, era. You know, they're going to have a bunch of people. This was something that was supposed to happen a couple years ago. I was going to be their keynote, and then last year it got canceled again, and then this year they're going to have it. And every year you're kind of like, wow, you know, I hope they still view you as relevant and things like that. So I really wanted to get a chance. So they're giving me 3 hours on stage Saturday morning. So I'm going to be off Thursday, headed to the Ontario Association of Orthodontics. So I really appreciate Invisalign's support for that. We're going to knock it out of the park with this consumer discussion and the three pillars of success. And I've actually switched up the three pillars of success. We actually teach it very differently before than we used to, excuse me. And this is actually something, as we dive into today's topic, something that I want all of you to really take in, is that you're never quite there. You know, just because things are relevant today doesn't mean they're going to be relevant tomorrow. And it's why I switched it up. It's going to be a brand new three pillars. We're going to teach it very differently. I think it's even more powerful than before. And we're looking forward to a great event. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of, you know, we have a good following in Canada. It's actually very exciting. When we first had our very first client there years ago, you know, you kind of ask yourself, is it going to work there just like as good as it does here? And it does. And actually, I have found it works even better. Some of these consumer principles we teach. And really looking forward to a great event there. We'll see everybody soon. The podcast following we have up in Canada is strong. So I'm looking forward to putting some faces to those statistics. And I know I'm forgetting some people out there that I probably saw. If I do, I apologize. But it was a wonderful time. And like I said, I'm going to circle back to the AAO experience in July and talk about the real reason price shoppers exist. It really became full circle to me. And I'm going to dive in, probably tie that into the number one trait of billionaires that you'll likely never adopt. Those two kind of go hand in hand with what I'm going to talk about on why price shoppers actually really exist inside the practice environment. And it's not the reasons you think. And I can't wait to talk about that because I think light bulbs will go on about the real reason they do exist and how as an industry we can change that and change it for the better. But a lot of times you just what you're thinking about that podcast, I think I'm going to spin it in a different way that's hopefully going to put a real light bulb in many of your minds. Today, though, we're going to be talking about the one word that is going to define whether or not you are ever going to be a great leader, or if you are thinking about promoting somebody into a leadership role in your practice, there is literally just one word that will summarize whether or not that person is actually going to be a good leader or has the chance, doesn't mean they're going to start off that way, but has a chance of developing themselves into a good leader. And I'm looking forward to diving into this one today because this will really help your hiring process if you are looking to promote somebody, even, you know, like a lead clinical assistant or whatever it might be. This is a very important podcast for you to listen to. And also yourself, you know, you as a business owner, office managers out there, you are leaders whether you want to be or not. You are in a leadership position. And you should not be in a position of authority. You should be in a position of motivation, of developing the right culture, of developing the right leadership skills, et cetera, that will really enhance the business, help put it on autopilot, help make sure employees are doing the right things when you're not looking. That's what the right culture will do for you. And today, I'm excited to dive into this topic. It's going to help you all a lot. Before we get started, let's fire up the music.
A practice on almost every corner, and the modern-day consumer viewing you as a commodity. So why is it the best time in history to own a practice? The answers are all right here. Welcome to Season 5 of the New Patient Group Audio Experience, a business, marketing, and life coaching podcast dedicated to helping doctors dominate the new economy. And now your host, he's the founder and CEO of New Patient Group, managing partner of Right Chat, and a trusted motivational speaker for the finest companies in the world, Brian Wright.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Hope you're doing good. I guess we're almost halfway through the year now, into June. I guess now at the end of June, that'll technically be the exact half of the year. It's rolling by. I hope the economy has not affected your practice in a negative way. I know there's a lot of people. Now, the New Patient Group clients listening, a lot of you are still having excellent years. Are you having as good a year maybe as last year? Some of you are. Some of you are having your best years ever. Some of you aren't, but you're still outproducing where the industry is going to be. Talking about industry, you know, there's a lot of industry consultants that do statistics, things like that, where the industry is going to end up for this year, at least where it's headed so far this year. And most of the New Patient Group clients, shout out to you, you're far ahead of that. All right, so keep it up. Realize again that the non-clinical experiences are what you have to be fabulous at. And you've got to be even better at them when the economy's down. You're doing really good. Keep up the hard work. Proud of all of you. Today, I want to talk about the one word that's going to define whether or not you're ever going to be a great leader as far as a business owner goes, as far as your duties to motivate, inspire, things like that. But also importantly, this is also going to dive into the one word that you can literally use to determine whether or not somebody ever has a chance of being a good leader if you're thinking about promoting them into a leadership position. We're going to have another podcast that will probably be this season. And it talks about leadership, and it talks about the most ironic thing with all of the leadership positions in your business. And it's something that I thought about doing today, and I thought about doing it first, but I'm going to do it a little bit down the road. It's not going to be next month, but it may follow. We may just do a leadership theme for a while. But the reality of the situation is that one is a very important podcast to listen to as well, because it's so true. And it's so true for, you know, companies that I speak for. You know, you see it in, you know, the Invisaligns of the world as an example. And it's so true all the way down to the smallest of small businesses and everywhere in between. It is a big mistake that pretty much every company that I've ever been involved with, ever been around, makes. So make sure whenever we do that podcast to listen to that as well. Today, this one word, and I'm going to kind of dive into it here in just a second, but I'm going to tell a story leading up to it. Many of you know this. For those of you who don't, I spent a few seasons as an umpire in professional baseball a long time ago. And I tell people that experience, the long story, how I ended up, you know, going from playing in high school to umpiring, and it was a long journey. And you look back on it, and there's so many things that it teaches you, from a presentation skills and confidence, and, you know, knowing what to do when in high pressure situations. There was a lot of beyond what you see on the field stuff that goes on that I have great fond memories of, and I attribute a lot of my success as a speaker and things like that, a presenter. I attribute a lot of my success to those days. I mean, you think about, you know, as a kid, you know, imagine a scenario where you're young. You know, I was in my early 20s when I was umpiring in professional baseball. And imagine a scenario where you've got, you know, take Ricky Parker as an example. Ricky Parker's a guy that played in the majors for a really long time. And then what happens, and baseball fans out there, you'll appreciate this more, but even if you're a non, you know, you could care less about baseball, these things will, I'm going to tie this together, it's all going to make sense, is then you go back. It's not like, you know, football, where you go to college, you're a great player, you get drafted, and you're in the NFL, okay? It's not like basketball, where you go to college, you're a great player, you get drafted, you're in the NBA. You know, baseball is a deal where the players and the umpires, you know, start at the very, very low level in the minors. You could be the best college player, you know, in existence, and you're still most likely starting in single or double A in the minors. And the chances of you ever making it to the majors are not great. It's that hard of a sport, and it's that mentally challenging. It's far more mentally challenging than it is physical. Even though it's a very physically challenging sport as well, it's a very mental. It's like golf. It's very mental. And anyway, Ricky Parker was a guy that I saw playing on TV, you know, growing up as a kid. I would watch Major League Baseball and you would see all these players. And then, you know, as you get to be an adult and you get older, these players retire. And then a lot of them try to get into coaching. Well, the way the majority of that works is they go down to the lower level minor league systems and they try to work themselves back up through the ranks. Well, Ricky Parker's a guy that I followed as a kid. And he was the manager of the A's in the Arizona League in my rookie season. And, you know, great guy, things like that. Carmelo Martinez, he was the manager of, I think it was the Peoria Cubs in the Arizona League. And I saw him play. And all of a sudden, you know, you get these guys that are coming out at you that, you know, they're testing you a lot of times. They don't even think you blew the call. They're just testing you and they're in your face and you've got to come back and look them in the eye and you've got to present it and you've got to tell them how it is, even though you may not know how it is, but you've got to pretend that you do. And it's this beautiful family of everyone trying to make it up to the majors and achieve that dream. And it's the umpires, it's the players, it's the trainers. And it's a very close-knit family. I really enjoyed and attribute a lot of my success to that. But the one thing that it's done is it makes it very hard for me to watch and I have a purpose of where we're going with this. It makes it very hard for me to watch a baseball game because the announcers are wrong literally 100% of the time when they talk about a rule. And you look at things like the K-zone. So baseball fans out there, you know, it's that little electronic box you see on the TV, on ESPN, they're putting dots up on there. It's all fake. It's all for TV purposes, and it's also not the real strike zone either. So there's two major league stadiums, San Diego and Minute Maid Park. Those two stadiums have an underground laser tracking system that actually prints out a report for the umpires in the umpire room. That tell them and grade them, and it's something that the Major League Baseball evaluators look at. So San Diego's park and Houston Minute Maid Park are the only two stadiums, and there may be another one or two that have added it, but to my knowledge, that have an actual legitimate tracking system underneath the plate that gives feedback to the umpires. Now, there's a lot that goes into it, so if you're looking at the K-zone on TV, that box is wrong because the strike zone is not defined until you've started your swing. All right, so imagine a player in his stance, and then he strides, and then he starts his swing. The top of the zone actually drops down, and the bottom of the zone actually comes up. And it's a an interesting thing if you could actually see the visual of it on how messed up that strike zone actually is on ESPN and things, but it's actually not real. It's just a guy putting dots on the screen for TV purposes. There's a lot of rules as well in baseball that really, you know, it's common. People think they know, but they don't. And I used to be on, so 610 AM is a sports radio station in Houston. And I used to be on there occasionally. We would talk rules. We'd have these segments. And baseball rules are as complicated as you can possibly imagine. I mean, they are very, very complicated. But even some of the ones that people think they know, they're wrong. As an example, the tie goes to the runner. That's not true. The check swing, I'm going to go back to that one in just a second. The check swing, you know, they start the swing, they hold up. People think it has to do with the plate or the wrist. Got nothing to do with it. It's just whether or not you think they made a legitimate attempt. That's it. So literally, you can't be wrong as far as the rule is written on what you end up calling it. There's so many more misconceptions. So go back into the tie goes to the runner. If you were to go to an audience of 1,000 people right now, non-umpires, just baseball fans, even the players, and that's part of the reason why it's hard, because, you know, the players then become announcers, and the players are some of the, and I knew it because I played. I didn't know the rules. I thought I did, but then I got in umpiring and realized what a dumb I was whenever it came to all that. So you get this world that they're kind of regurgitating. Players go to be announcer, and they talk about the exact wrong things they talked about on the field as far as the rules go. And the announcers, you know, not the former players, but like the actual play-by-play guys that ever play, they don't know the rules either. So take the tie goes to the runner. If you asked 1,000 baseball fans right now, does the tie go to the runner? They're all going to say yes, right? It's a very common misinterpreted rule. The actual rule in the rule book says that in order to be safe, you must beat the ball to the bag. So therefore, in a situation that really is mathematically impossible, if it is a tie, according to the rule book, you're actually out because you did not beat that ball. You arrived at the exact same time. So you look at that, and if those 1,000 people went to a baseball game, and this is right from, you know, we have a free course. It's the 7 steps to achieving prosperity. I did it at Orthopreneurs last year, and, you know, it got really good reviews, and this is one part of the 7 steps to achieving prosperity, this one word that I'm going to get to that's going to define your leadership abilities, and if you have a chance to get better, it's going to define whether or not the person you're thinking about putting into a leadership position, whether or not they're going to be good at it. All you have to do is look at this one word that I'm leading to. So these 1,000 people, if they went to a baseball game and they saw a bang bang play at first base and it was a tie and the umpire called them out, these 1,000 people, because on the surface think the rule is he's safe, the tie goes to the runner, they're going to leave that game and they are going to blame something else than reality of why their team lost. You know, let's say it was the final play of the game, and if he would have been called safe, a run would have scored, and they would have won the game, as an example. But because he was called out, they had to go into extra innings, and they lost. Whatever the scenario is, they didn't get the outcome they wanted. So they immediately start looking for people to blame. And on the surface, you would look at that and go, yeah, the umpire blew the call, and therefore we lost the game, and therefore we didn't win the division, and therefore we didn't make the playoffs. And it's this ongoing story of domino effects that because the umpire blew it, this happened, then this happened, etc. Well, the reality of the situation, let's say 999 people, I said 1,000, but let's say 999 people out of those 1,000 leave thinking that way. And there was one person that actually took the time to either know the rule, because he didn't take it at face value just listening to TV, and he actually dug into the rule book, he actually asked the right people questions, and realized that the real rule is you're safe. You're out. If the tie does not go to the runner, in order to be safe, you must beat the ball to the bag. This person is one out of 1,000 that says, hey, look, this umpire is actually awesome. He got the call right. Like, wow, that was a close play. I certainly wouldn't have wanted to call that at that kind of high speed in front of, you know, 60,000 people yelling and screaming. This umpire really knocked it out of the park and got the call right. And therefore, this one person leaves, and this one person is saying to themselves, look, the umpire got that call right, And looking back at the game, you know, we just did not hit well with runners in scoring position. We just did not execute on our opportunities. You know, we keep falling behind early in games. This person is the one out of 1,000 leaving the game, looking inward, saying, we've got to get better. Everybody else leaves this game blaming the wrong thing for inevitably the story they start telling themselves. And I love, like, what I'm talking about right now and this word that I'm about to say to you literally easily is an all-day workshop. There are so many different stories I have, and whether it be life experiences or things being inside practices and businesses, that are just amazing on how it ties all this back in. But the reality of the situation is this is just like in life, is that there aren't that many. If you went to 1,000 people that were already in quote-unquote leadership positions, or were thinking about being, or their leader was thinking about hiring them to go into a leadership position, there is only about one out of every 1,000 that are actually going to be really good at it. There's so many times I see it in dentistry, like a lot of the office managers. I mean, shout out to a lot of you. I'm friends with you. I think you do a great thing for practices. But if you look at a lot of the office managers, they're bosses. They're not leaders. You know, they're great at practice management softwares. They babysit the team. They relieve a lot of the stresses the doctor would have to deal with. But they are not leaders, not motivators. They don't inspire. They don't make anybody better. They just take a load off the doctor, as an example. And it's not a criticism at all. It's just the reality. You said, I just use an office manager as an example. If you look at, you know, 1,000 lead clinical assistants, it's the same way. Like, they got there because of their clinical, you know, maybe expertise or longevity at the practice. And that's where I'm going to dive into, like I said, in a couple months about that leadership. Is the most ironic thing about your leadership positions. And I look forward to that podcast, because it's going to put a different light on what actually it takes to be a good leader and remain a good leader. But going back to this one out of 1,000, a lot of people hold leadership positions, but they're not leaders. You know, it's more of an authoritative, you know, place of power, position of power, if you will. So you go back to this baseball game and you say to yourself, what's the difference between the one person and the 999? And the word is curiosity. And that right there is the only thing you need to know about whether or not the person you're about to hire into a leadership position is going to be good. Because even if you hire them and they're overwhelmed and they're not that good in the beginning, if they by nature are curious, they are going to eventually do the job well. Curiosity, a thirst for knowledge, is a powerful, powerful thing that so many of the new patient group clients have, so many of the Right Chat clients have, because, you know, the thing with Right Chat's a no-brainer. Like, if you're a business owner and you don't use it, I am that adamant about, I don't know what you're thinking, because the reality of the situation is that answering services are yesterday's news. So a new patient call comes to your office, you miss it during business hours, after business hours, it happens both. Rolls to us, we answer it as if we're sitting at your front desk, remote in, schedule the person as if we're sitting as your employee. They never know the difference, and boom, you get 5 more new patients a month that you otherwise would have lost. And I say that because curiosity is a big trait of the Right Chat clients, because they have a thirst for knowledge. They have a thirst for understanding the data. They have a thirst for knowing that this is happening to them. They have a curiosity about them that understands that there's a whole world of numbers out there and lost opportunities that you just can't put your finger on every single month. And as a leader out there, I've seen it time and time again, the best office managers we work with. You know, I've said for years, I love Rob Schaefer's office manager. I love Mark Olson's. I love Jet Pascal's. Like, there are some really good ones out there, and they all have this trait that I'm talking about. They are curious. They want to dig in. They want to learn. They want to challenge the status quo. They want to learn again. They want you to be, they want, you know, us to challenge them. They want to role play in front of their team. They want to do all these things because they constantly want to get better. When I'm on stage, I have this deck and I have this video that plays, and it was Braden's, I think it was his 5th birthday. And he's got his cake, and I talked him into just and just slamming your face into it. Just bury your face in there, and it's hilarious. And he does it. He blows out the candle, sticks his face in there, comes out, and he's just, his laughter made the moment. It was just so great. He was laughing so hard, and I was laughing so hard. And I'm thinking to myself, I can use this video because it just shows how when we're kids, we're so much fun. We're always looking to do something new. We're always looking to learn something new. We're always looking to do things differently. We're always into stuff. We're always just suspicious. We're just fun. And then I have this deal where this guy asleep comes over and I say, then we get to be adults. And my God, we just get boring. It's like, okay, I'm married, I have kids, and I'm just going to do school and sports activities, and I'm never going to do anything, and I'm going to go home, I'm going to do this. It's just the same daily routine. Like, Kristen and I have a problem. We have a hard time even getting anybody to do anything with us. That's why I love seeing the new patient group clients, like Porta Lupe and all of you, like Schaefer, because you guys want to do stuff. Like, you are the people that I want to do stuff with. People just get boring when they become adults. And it's the same thing inside the practice environment, the business environment, is many people just get boring. They stop pushing themselves to have a thirst for knowledge. They stop this, I'm going to learn something new today. I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. Just because we do it now and maybe we're real successful doesn't mean that's what's going to make us successful tomorrow. They look at things very, very differently than how the 999 do, the 99%ers, who are just kind of good and about their way. And the things that drives me nuts about the leadership positions is people are being hired to be a leader that have these attitudes. That, oh, I've been a clinical assistant for this long, don't tell me what to do. I've been a hygienist for this long, don't tell me what to do. You know, can you imagine if we had that as a kid? This is one of the things I talk about in that slide is, can you imagine if we had that attitude as a kid? You'd never learn how to walk. It'd be like Madeline, you know, she's a year, Madeline's 5 now, Braden's 6. And it'd be like Madeline crawling, watching Braden walk, and Madeline going, nah, I'm fine. I'm good. Just let me be. Like, walk, you know, crawling's just good enough for me. And she just crawls the rest of her life. And I know that sounds so silly, but that is exactly what we do as adults all the time. You know, we don't change up our workout routine. We don't learn new ways to be healthy. It's the same things in business. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna pay an outside company to do some form of advertising to get our phones to ring a little bit more and think that that's going to fix my problems. And then wonder why it's ultimate chaos inside the practice, even if you're growing, you know, why you're not achieving your dream business and practice and life or your dream team or your dream patient, all of these things. It's for a reason, is you're not curious enough. You're not curious to find a better way. And that's the other thing, you know, of the 999 with that baseball example that I was talking about is, see, they leave and they have no inclination whatsoever that they're the ones that are wrong. They have no idea that there's a better way. See, they're going out there saying all the things and blaming that umpire when the umpire had nothing to do with it. And it's the same thing in the industry, too. It's like, you know, you get a price shopper and you blame the shopper for not buying from you. Like, it's the shopper's fault. Meanwhile, there was 17 things that happened from the time they called your practice to the time they showed up to your door, to how they were greeted when they walked through the door, how that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, down the road. There was 17 things that were leaky holes that you don't know about because you're not curious enough to find a better way of doing it. And if you're going to lead your organization and you're going to hire somebody that is going to lead, like I said, a head clinical assistant, they're not being hired as a position of power. They're being hired to make the other assistants better, to train them, to role play with them, to get them to do maybe something, 30 seconds faster than they used to do. You know, you're whoever's going to train people how to scan with the iTero machine inside your office. You know, their job is to make sure other people are faster. Their job is to not pat themselves in the back and say, I'm the fastest. Their job is to try to make other people faster than them. That's called being a leader. But all of this starts with being curious. Those people at the baseball game, the 999, because they left not curious, without a thirst for knowledge, the rest of their existence is the wrong story about that game. And this happens, like I said, inside the industry, in dentistry, in orthodontics, in really any place. You could be a plumber, you could be a restaurant. This happens across the board all the time. You're focusing on the wrong things because you're not curious enough to identify what's really happening. You're not using your imagination like a kid does to understand that there's a whole world of numbers out there that are happening to you, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year in lost opportunities that you can't put your finger on because the data can't track it. The data can't track it. You have to have a thirst for knowledge. You have to be curious if you're going to be a good leader. You've got to have the mindset that says, what can I do today to inspire my team better than how I did it yesterday? And that mentality has to be carried out by any person that you're thinking about putting into a leadership position. And understand, leadership positions are not hired based on longevity. Oh, Janice has been here 10 years. I promoted her to my head clinical assistant. I see that all the time. No, that's not how it works. The leadership position is hired, and that person takes over that position because they've shown that they have a thirst for knowledge. They've shown that they're willing to dig deeper. They've shown that they're going to challenge the status quo. They've shown that they're going to be the first ones to stand up in front of their peers and role play, or the first one to go into an event. Matter of fact, good story. This is a perfect example, and I forgot her name, but Lisa Stokes and Alyssa Carter, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about because it's one of your TCs. And I feel bad that I forgot her name because I talked to her for 20 minutes at the event. Perfect story. This literally just came to my mind. Wasn't even planning on talking about it, but this is exactly what I mean. So they had a girl that paid her own way to go to the AAO, right? It was the only team member there, and she invested her own money to come. She even came to my all-day workshop Friday that we did for OrthoFi, even though she's a client. I mean, she gets enough of us with new patient group because we're just coming back at you all the time. That's why it works. But she's there investing her own money. Why? Because she's curious. Has a thirst for knowledge. She wants to take in as much as she possibly can of the experience. How many employees do you think, and I'm willing to bet she was the only one, that paid out of their own pocket to go to the AAO, to see speakers? Heck, during the workshop, I had her come up and role play because she wanted to do it without the scripts. You know, a lot of times, this was the first time that I was introducing it to a lot of people. Well, she, because she's a new patient group client, has been through some of this stuff. So she even told me, Brian, can I do it without the script up there? I want to see what I know. Well, props to her. Props to Lisa Stokes and Alyssa Carter for hiring somebody like that. Props to Lisa Stokes and Alyssa Carter for having a culture that helps breed that kind of success, that kind of talent. It's beautiful. So great to see. But that is the type of person that absolutely deserves to be hired into a leadership role. And so many people get caught up in your background and how much experience you have and this and that. I can tell you right now, if you take somebody that's been, you know, whatever, a dental assistant for 15 years, refuses to learn new things, refuses to understand that even though they're assistant, 90% of what they do every day is still non-clinical. Every time they speak, that's a non-clinical communication skill set versus somebody that was hired and been there a year, has no assisting experience before that, but is constantly reading books, role-playing, trying to get better and faster, challenging the status quo, wanting to be better. You get the point. She's the one you hire into the leadership role. It's not the one that's been there 15 years. And that's such a shift in mindset for a lot of you from a hiring perspective, but the reality is it's true. And all you have to do is go back and ask yourself this one question. Is the person I'm thinking about hiring for this leadership role, are they curious? And that is the same thing for you as a leader. Because if you're not curious, your team's not going to be. And if you're not curious and you do have a team member that is, they are going to leave you. It's just that simple. And that's the culture you have to have, is a culture of curiosity, a culture that has a thirst for knowledge. You got to ask yourself, again, on your team, who would have paid their own money to fly to AAO to see the speakers, to take notes, to support their doctor? In this case, you know, Alyssa Carter, speaker for dental monitoring. She spoke a time when she spoke when we were there. She showed up. She and I watched Alyssa speak. Shout out to you, Alyssa. Great job. That was a good presentation. But it's so true and it's so simple, yet this is going to be a shift in a lot of your hiring practices and philosophies. It's not necessarily experience. Now, if they have 15 years and they're curious, is that better? Probably. But they're better off working for you for 2 days and showing curiosity than someone that's stuck in their ways and just boring and dull and just not wanting to change. And that's such a common trait of the new patient group and Right Chat clients, is the curiosity piece. Because you all are so far ahead of the rest of the industry, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. And the reality is that the rest of the industry, once they find out, it's too late. You're doing all the things that you're going to have to be doing in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You're still way ahead of your time. And you're just burying everybody. And you're not advertising. That's the beauty. I love seeing these people that dump $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year into advertising. It's like, this is the exact same thing I'm talking about. See, these are the 999 people that left the baseball game, and they go out saying the people, you know, the umpire's the problem. And they look outward, away from themselves and their own team. The one person that understood the rule, that dug in and realized, damn, the runner is out based on how this rule is written. And wow, that umpire is great. That person is going and looking inward, like, we've got to get better. And this is so true, not even just from a leadership standpoint. It's just how people run their business. So many people go immediately outside their doors when they want to grow. And that's what New Patient Group is. We're the inside your doors company. And while we're doing that, it helps drive your online presence and outside your doors experience as well. But it's all inside your doors, everything. Be a organization that's curious. Be an organization that breeds curiosity, a thirst for knowledge. I mean, be an organization that wants to stick your face in the cake. Have some fun. Understand that there's always a better way to do it. Always. You're never there. Sometimes that can sound hard, but honestly, having that mentality makes things easier because you never get stuck. You as a doctor, you as an office manager, any leadership position out there, you've got to be curious. If you're thinking about hiring somebody out there, you've got to make sure their curiosity is at peak levels. And if it is, you're going to be a great leader, or that hire is going to be a great leader. I hope this helped you out today. Change your mindset, shift your mindset, your hiring principles, practices, philosophies. Take this leadership team. Be curious. If you're not, make sure your team is curious, especially if you're going to hire them into a leadership position. And I know this will help you a lot. Thanks so much for the loyal following out there, and we'll see everybody soon. Bye-bye.